Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. None of the four soldiers on duty at the cross could remember seeing anyone die so soon, so quickly. Most of their crucified foes put up a longer fight, fearing the unknown of death beyond. Then again, the one from Nazareth had been severely flogged. He was already half dead by the time they got him on the cross. And the things he did while he hung on the cross puzzled them. The Nazarene gave one of his followers charge over his own mother. The one called Jesus did finally take a drink of sour wine from the sponge. Not long after he spoke the words, "It is finished," did this Judean bow his head and die. In the moments following Jesus' death, the Roman attendants of the crucifixion received new orders. They were to go to each of the crucified men and break their legs at the shin. This would speed up the dying process, since the men would no longer be able to push themselves up into a more upright breathing position. When they came to Jesus, they recognized the obvious signs of death, and they did not break his leg. Instead, one of the soldiers took forth his spear and stabbed it into Jesus' side. Not just blood came out, but water too. The thrust of the spear would have been sure to pierce into the heart, not to cause death, but to confirm that death had already occurred. What those soldiers could not have known was that they had inadvertently been part of ancient scriptures being fulfilled. Psalm 34, verse 20, prophesied this of the Messiah: "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." This was in line with the biblical requirements for the sacrificial lamb of the people. No broken bones were allowed for the sacrifice, or else it would be considered blemished. By piercing Jesus' side, another prophecy of old was fulfilled. From Zechariah 12, verse 10, "When they look on me, on him whom they have pierced." Jesus, as the perfect lamb of sacrifice, was kept pure and holy by God's protection. The Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, was truly dead. The spear-pierced side proved it. Now, it is true that there are no clear Bible passages that explain any significance of the blood and the water that poured forth from Jesus' side. And even John himself, the beloved apostle, leaves that bit of information hanging out there for all to read. Throughout the centuries, very much ink has been used writing about what that detail means, coming at it from the perspective that God had all of this whole story planned, very down to the very detail, that none of it was by chance. We then venture down an oft-traveled path of meaning. And understanding that John's words are truly God's words, then we come to a conclusion here that is quite theologically sound. When the Christian ear, such as yours, hears blood and water, you quite simply start thinking of baptism and the Lord's Supper. This has been a common move by many Christians throughout the years in understanding the meaning of this part of Christ's death. John himself never mentions the Lord's Supper specifically in his gospel, but that doesn't mean he is hesitant to speak sacramentally. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. In those words of institution, Jesus said that he was establishing a new covenant with God's people. This covenant would be sealed in the shed blood of the perfect Lamb, of Jesus himself. Jesus' death would be required for this new covenant to take effect. And so he died. Another often visited idea that comes from the image of our Lord's pierced side is that of the birth of the church. With that in mind, a connection is drawn between Jesus, the new Adam, and the first Adam. When Adam was alone, God caused him to fall into a death-like sleep, opening up Adam's side, God fashioned woman from the bone of his bone, from the flesh of his flesh. Even as Eve was created from the side of Adam, so Christ's bride, the church, is brought forth from his own side. The water of holy baptism has made you alive in Christ. The blood you receive in the Lord's Supper sustains you in that life. When the soldiers did come to Jesus there at the end, they found him already dead. Nothing more really needed to be done. Yet the spear thrust came, as it normally would by those soldiers, to make certain the crucified one was dead. And so death was verified. God's detailed plan had been fully unfurled. Each element was fully known to God. Jesus had predicted this very day, quite specifically, many times before. Man's salvation would be achieved by God's only begotten Son. It would happen in the exact way that God had ordained it. Sacrificial death, substitutionary death, was foreshadowed first, very simply, in the animal skins used to clothe over the shame of Adam and Eve after their fall into sin. The blood of a perfect lamb was later used as the very liberating means of God's people from slavery in Egypt. Animal sacrifices were performed regularly by the Israelites as a constant reminder and a prediction of what was still to come in order to exact man's redemption from sin, from death, and from the devil. And all of this came as a result of man's deep sinfulness, our deep sinfulness. Every facet of the passion story should reflect back onto us the gravity of our sin. The pain and the suffering that Christ endured was because of you and of me. God's justice required full payment for sin, a life for a life. But rather than have each individual suffer the eternal consequences of their own sin, God's justice and his mercy allowed for a substitute. a perfect one. He made that allowance known from the very beginning in His people throughout their history. And the most vivid early view of this perfect sacrifice comes to us in Isaiah's 53rd chapter. Beloved by many, heard as our Old Testament reading. Reflect on those words again. Surely, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. The wounds of Christ, caused by our sin, do truly heal you. His nailed hands and feet, His pierced side, the blood of the Lamb poured out for you, poured out on you for the forgiveness of your sins, covering your sinfulness, causing the Father to see you now as holy, as righteous, as blameless in His sight. Precious to Him. As the thrust of the spear into Christ's side verified His death there on the cross, so the word and the sacrament of Christ flowing forth from His wounds verifies your life in Him. Your sin is fully paid for in Jesus. The soldiers there at the cross would have been bewildered by Jesus' word, "Tetelestai, it is finished." But you and I know exactly what Jesus meant. Your life in sin stands finished because of Christ Jesus, and because He has finished the work of saving you in His precious death. With His wounds, you are healed, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus. Amen.